If you're going to remain with us this evening, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to continue where we left off last time. We're going through the Proverbs. We've looked at Proverbs 1 verse 1. And last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 1 verse 2 to 6. And tonight we're going to look at Proverbs 1, 7 through to 19. It's going to be a slow start, but it's going to finish fast, okay? As in, we're going to go through the last part of the verses. So don't be weary, okay? If I'm preaching on the first three, four verses and taking about 40 minutes on those, don't be weary on the last several verses, okay? Don't think, you know, I'm going to go for an hour and a half or anything like that. Maybe you could switch off. Don't switch me off tonight, okay? I'll be sensitive in time. I know some of you are labored for a wonderful time that we've had in the afternoon to be hospitable to our guests and friends. And thank you so much for putting your hands together, even if it was just for that one soul, amen, that came to heard the gospel. It was all worth it. So thank you for that. And once you've found your place, please be upstanding in reverence and respect to the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 7. The Bible says there, Proverbs 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you tonight and we thank you for these proverbs. We thank you for these wisdom, these instructions that Solomon gives to his son. And no doubt in return, it is to us. Father, if it was good for them, it's good for us. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us understand these proverbs. Help us tonight not to only understand them, Lord, but also to go out and live them. Help us to propagate them. Help us to apply them in our lives. Lord, I'd ask and pray that you'd be with anyone here tonight, perhaps, that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. Tonight, Lord God, that it's not going to be focused more or so on the gospel message, but Lord, I pray that they can see the instructions of what you give to a Christian and fear and come to know, and have a desire to come to know the Lord and live in this holy way. Lord, have your blessings upon your word to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We look at the introduction of Proverbs in verse 1, that they were the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, given by God. And we also looked at verses 2 to 6, that the Proverbs were simply a benefit for us to have godly wisdom. Tonight we'll look at the verses 7 to 19 and we'll see wisdom given to Solomon's son. The book of Proverbs can be outlined, Proverbs 1:8 all the way through to chapter 9. Proverbs instruct wisdom, or these Proverbs instructing Solomon's son. And we look at Proverbs chapter 10 all the way through to 29. And these were the general Proverbs of Solomon. And then Proverbs chapter 30, we see that these were the Proverbs of Agar. And we see Proverbs 31, the Proverbs of Lemuel from his mother. But we're going to focus on Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through to 19. And we'll see verse 7 says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now, let me say that the fear of the Lord is a good place to start. Actually, it's the best place to start. This will help us maintain our healthy relationship with God, to have a fear of the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." It is God's word that will help us have a good, clean fear of God that endures forever. God's word helps us understand what the fear of the Lord is. It teaches us to fear God. And so we're going to see, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It is to have a reverence, but not just any reverence, to have a godly reverence. A godly reverence. Many people have different kind of or different sorts of this act of reverence. I mean, just the other day, last week, Wednesday, coming into the room and the karate group were leaving, and each and every single one of those teachers were bowing to an empty room. And they were giving, perhaps, as my understanding, I've never done karate, but perhaps they were giving reverence for the room that they were training in. But some people give reverence to different things. But to fear the Lord is to have a reverence, a godly reverence toward God. It's to have this awe, if you would, this attitude of holy worship, this admiration, a humble admiration toward God. It's hallowed be thy name, the Holy One, recognizing that God is God and coming before him in a humble way. It's to fear the Lord, to bow, to be low before God. David concludes in Psalm 68 verse 35, "O God, thou art terrible." Now, that's an archaic word. It's an old English word. It doesn't mean that God's terrible. It's not what we understand it today. This word is the same Hebrew word as fear. Lord, thou art to be feared. That's what he's basically saying here. Thou art to be feared. Thou art terrible. Out of the holy places, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. It's to be in revere. It's to be in awe of God, to be afraid, to fear and tremble before the Lord. We can say, or we can put it like this, "O God, you are to be feared. You are great and terrible. You are to be feared." The fear of the Lord is to have God in his right place in your life and in my life. It's to put him in the right place. He's God. And I need to get off the throne of my life and say, "God, I need you to be on the throne of my life. I fear you. I fear your word. I want to do your will, your way." The Bible makes reference to a few people in the Bible that fear the Lord. Job was one of them. We know in Job 1:1, a man that was perfect and upright, one that feareth God and eschewed evil. Now, the Bible doesn't only make mention of his standing with God, that he feared God, and that he was upright and godly, but Job also makes mention on how to fear the Lord. Job 28:28 says, unto man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Job knew that. This stems, you know, having a perfect, upright, godly life stems from a reverence or a fear for the Lord. To be upright, to be someone that's just simply perfect, complete, is someone that fears God, reverence God. And that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the right place to start. Say, "God, you're God. I'm not God. You're God. And I bow before you, and I bow before your word." The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to be wise is to avoid evil. That word "depart from evil" is the same word we find in Job 1:1, to eschew, to depart, to avoid. The fear of the Lord is to avoid evil, to keep away from worldly practices, things that are against God. It's to have a hate towards sin. The Bible mentions in Psalm 119, 163, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." And not only just sin in general and lying in general, but God wants us to hate our sin. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Now, he understood that he transgressed against the Lord and it was evil in God's sight. So to fear the Lord is to see things the way God sees things, and he sees that this world or this philosophy or sin or of lying or immorality, lust, pride is evil. and have this hate, abhor, to depart from, to avoid. That's the fear of the Lord. To hate what God hates and love what God loves. And the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to be wise is to obey the Lord. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endures forever. So the fear of the Lord is to obey or do the word of God. That's a good understanding, by the way. But fools, in verse 7, despise wisdom and instruction. Man of God once said, many have much knowledge in a sense of learning apart from a real relationship with God. Such knowledge is not wisdom. And there are a lot of people that are smart, intellectually smart. They have knowledge. They're whizzes in this or that, in science, computers, whatever. But let me say, outside of God, they're not wise. It's the fear of God and putting God in our right place and not despising his instruction. That's wisdom. But one that cares less for the word of God, one that cares less for the instruction of this book, one that puts this aside and doesn't really consider it, one that simply runs to evil and puts the word of God, shoes this aside, that's not wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. But fools, those people that are fools, will put down the word of God. Those people that despise correction and instruction are fools. Despise is just to hold in contempt. It's to disrespect. It's to hold as insignificance. It's to show despite toward. They're fools. And we understand that a lot of the philosophy of the world, despite this book, they disrespect this book. We know that. I just heard a testimony of a man that has been elevated there amongst the evolutionists, a young man. They counting to be an idol. They thought that all these evolutionists were old and they had white hair. But this guy, came up and says, you don't have to be old to be a strong evolutionist. And so the reporter said, so what do you think about creationists? And he just, not giving any reason why, one single statement said, rubbish. Oh-ho, the reporter, hey, let's clap for this wise man that despised the word of God. And sorry, my friend, according to God's word, you are rubbish because you are the fool that despised the word of God. And it's amazing that we have a God that still stands with his loving hand saying, you want to despise me, that's fine, but you're being a fool. Why don't you be wise and come unto me? That's God. Can you imagine the evolutionists taking God's place? Forget it. None of us will be alive, those that believe in God. But God still just waits and waits and waits for these people to turn and come back to God and read of his wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's a good start. It's the beginning of wisdom. Pharaoh despised the instruction of the Lord. Moses came and with Aaron and said, look, you must let the children of Israel go. Thus saith the Lord. And you know what he said in Exodus 5 verse 2? He says this, who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice? He despised correction, instruction, and became a fool for it. You understand what happened to Pharaoh? The Pharisees and the rulers despised, the religious rulers despised the wisdom of God. Luke 7:30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They did this because they didn't have a heart for truth. They didn't care for truth. They didn't care for the word of God. They had no heart to turn to God's counsel. And so there were scorners sitting in the seat of the scornful. These are the religious Pharisees. And notice Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among who? The wise. Those that give ear to the reproof or the instruction of God's word, they don't reject God's word, they abide among the wise, the group that are wise, those that listen to the instruction of God, the word of God. Notice he in verse 32 that refused refuses instruction despise his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. King Saul was a man that despised wisdom, didn't he? He despised wisdom when the prophet came to him and tried to help him and give him some instruction and reproof. He tried to cover it up. He despised the instruction. You know what happened to Saul? You know what happened to Saul? And the fear of the Lord is, in verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. By the way, it does take humility to come before the Lord. It does take humility to come and say, God, I want you to rule my life. I want your word to be having the preeminence of my life. That's humility. It takes humility to come before the king and say, Lord, I fear you. And I want your word to lead me. It takes humility. And you know what God says? God will honor them. Our verse that we memorized last week, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 through to 9. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall what? Promote thee. She shall bring thee what? To honor. When thou doest embrace her, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. This leads us to our next few verses. Proverbs 1 verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. What would happen? What is the result? What will take place? Verse 9, for they shall be in what? An ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The Lord desires us to be humble, to submit under his godly authority. He says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Ephesians 6:1 begins to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is a commandment with promise. Listening to your godly authorities will save you a lot of trouble. You'll live long. And this is the instruction, one that is wise. Listen, young people, one that is wise will submit to their godly authorities. Will listen and to the law of their mother. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. Wisdom and instruction. Listen, when your parents are trying to help you in a godly manner, in a godly way, it's not because they despise you. They love you. They want the best for you like God wants the best for us. But only a fool will say, oh, they don't really care for me. Oh, they just want to ruin my life. On the contrary, it's the other way around. They want to save you from a destructive life. Believe me, I've been there. I lived my life, even though my parents were not altogether believers, but they had some moral principles that derived from the Word of God, and I rejected their counsel, and I've been there. I only lived a destructive life. That's why I envy young people in a godly way, that you were raised up in a home that you'd never had to go and try this or try that or do this or do that. Never had to taste this wickedness of this world that leaves an empty taste in your mouth. It gives a responsibility for a godly parents to train up their children in the way, doesn't it? Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Young people feel the tendency that they're liberated once they leave their parents' home. And that's why some people or some youngsters want to leave sooner than later. Not all of them, but some of them, because they want the liberty. They don't want to be under the discipline or the instruction of the household rules. So when they get out of the house, it's like freedom for them. But you know what Matthew Henry said? Think not thou when thou art grown up and no longer under the tutors and governments that thou mayest live at large. No, the law of thy mother was according to the law of God. And therefore, it must be never forsaken. Thou wast trained up in the way thou oughtest go. And therefore, when thou art old, thou must not depart from it. Just because you leave your parents' house doesn't mean the Bible principles that were installed in you need to be rejected. I can live my way, do what I want to do. And these principles were given to you so you can obey them and keep them even when you're out of the house. They're going to bring you safety to your life. But a fool despises wisdom and instruction. And then you're going to ruin your life. Notice the byproduct of listening and submitting and obeying godly principles from godly parents and teachers. Proverbs verse 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Wow. Now, let me just say this. This is the best kind of jewelry you can actually wear. Oh, this is the best ruby and diamond that you can ever wear. This is the best costly array you can ever have. You know, God looks at this gracious chain around your neck of obedience and says, that sparkles. As a matter of fact, that's what God wanted the woman to wear. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, we can turn there quickly, but leave your finger in Proverbs 1. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 1, notice what the Bible says. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not in word, they also may be without the word, be won by their conversation or lifestyle of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. But what kind of adorning does he want? Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek, there it is, humble and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a what? Great price. Let that be around your head, and let that on your head, and let that be around your neck, for that is the precious jewel that God is looking for. And that was the Proverb 31, the virtuous woman. And she wasn't a virtuous woman because she had favor with her Facebook fans. And by the way, someone said about that the Proverb 31 woman was too busy doing to go on the Facebook and tell everyone what she was doing. She was too busy doing. She's got no time for that. And she has no time to pamper herself in front of the mirror and try to build up her self-esteem and go out and cause some man to stumble. She wasn't for that. She knew that beauty was vain. She knew that favor was deceitful. No, the Bible says that she was virtuous because she feared God. That's virtuous. That's a great price. That's wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And we see that this is a wonderful chain to carry around your neck, ladies. Not only for the ladies, but my son is specifically speaking to his children here. All ladies, men, obedience, trust and obey. Hearken unto wise counsel. And verse 8 is the introduction to obey godly counsel. And verse 9 is the result of submitting to godly counsel. And verse 10, he gets stuck into it. He just doesn't waste any time to give advice to his son. The vital principles of regarding separation. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Right from the beginning, sinners have sought to entice or tempt the innocent. Right from the beginning. Whether it be in the area of lying, immorality, lust, pride, disrespect or violence, sinners will often prey on the naive. And the main thrust of the sinner that tries to entice, whether it's they're aware of it or whether they're not aware of it, is to get you, Christian, to compromise your conviction and disobey the word of God. That's the thrust of it. That's the enticing invitation. Whether they know it or whether they don't, they want you to go against God-given convictions, and they don't want you to obey the word of God. And he's saying, please, my son, consent thou not. Consent thou not. They'll even try to manipulate you with words. You're not cool. Oh, you're boring. And he says, if sinners entice thee, they try to manipulate you. Consent thou not. Don't go. You know, the Bible speaks about taste and see that the Lord is good. God just wants you to taste Him, His goodness, His word. Just taste. Just see for yourself. You know, the same principle applied when I tasted the world. As an ungodly man, and I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew that, you know, don't do drugs. I knew keep your purity before marriage. I knew those things. Conscience bears witness. You knew. It's written in my heart. I knew that these things, don't do drugs, don't go drinking, don't go sleeping around, don't go pervert yourself, defile yourself. Did you think for a moment that I ended up doing all these things just overnight? No. I just tasted. Someone said, hey, Charlie, you know, you're leaving home early, 12 o'clock and you're gone. Yeah, that's what used to happen when I used to drink. I used to go off my face, get drunk, go home, get a kebab and sleep. Until someone said, Charlie, why don't you take these little drugs, you know, they'll keep you going all morning. Oh, yeah. Just a little taste. This is what sinners want to do to you. Sinners out there, whether they know it or not, they want to get you little by little, little by little. Doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight where you lose control. No, did you think for my wildest dreams, I would end up where I ended up? No way. I stopped for a moment, even as an unsaved man, and think, what am I doing here? I couldn't even pick up the phone and speak to my mum or my dad. I was ashamed. I went out of the way. And then I was the sinner doing the enticing. I enticed my best friend. I said, hey, Danny, try one of these, man. Amazing. And he did. Well, after a while, didn't do it straight away. And when I got saved, because before I was saved, I left that. I got sick of that lifestyle. Got sick of it. And when I was saved, and I looked back, Danny was still into it. And he was going down a road that I even said, as a man that was wicked and enticed, you went further than I did. And then the Lord said, you're the one that enticed him. And I called him up one day, and we sat under the harbour bridge, and he was off his face. I said, Danny, I found Jesus. And shared the gospel with him. I said, he saved me. He gave me true joy. True joy. This world didn't give me that joy, but Jesus gave me that joy. This world left a bad taste in my mouth. It wasn't the wow factor. In the beginning, it was wow. But it was bread of deceit. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with what? Yeah. Ugh. Gravel. I was deceived. And a few months, I was pleading with Danny. It was under the bridge. It was the seed that was sown. He accepted Christ as his Savior, praise God. And later on, he said to me, that night, we didn't end up going out. I took my partner, which is his wife now, praise the living God. His wife got saved, and they've got three kids, and it's wonderful. And because this is a man that said he would never get married, but he'll live with his partner. Anyway, he said he went home that day, and he couldn't go out. The word of God convicted him. New Year's Eve, we went out. That was the Christmas Eve party, a Christmas party for my work. I invited him to come. I remember coming out, and then New Year's Eve came along. We went over. We visited him. We got a few fireworks, and I know that they're illegal, but we're still growing. We hadn't just been saved ourselves for some time. We thought we'll crack a few. And we shared the gospel again, Robert and I. And they came to church, and they got saved. And it was just a wonderful thing to know that a man that I actually enticed now came to know the Lord. And I thank God that I was able now to get him to taste something that is not wicked. But I'm just saying that it doesn't happen overnight. When you go and ruin your life, it happens in a series of events, crossing this, going there, and doing that. It just doesn't happen overnight. Look at verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Come with us. Come and join our group. Yeah, that's how it starts. Come and be with us. Come and join our group. Let us lay wait for blood. Trying to promote this so-called fun. But people end up being hurt in the process. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. These people think that nobody's watching. But let me just say, God is watching. God is watching. They think that they're not going to be caught. They would try to tempt you to do things behind your parents' back. They would try to get you to hide things from the ones that love you. Absolutely. Come in our group. But don't tell your parents this. No. No one needs to know. Let's do it quietly. They will get you to live a secret life. Let's look privily. Let's come. Proverbs 1 verse 12. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Their purpose is to get gain on someone else's expense. Doing whatever it takes to gain pleasure, even if it hurts others. Verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. By the way, these people do not understand true riches. They're building their house here on earth. True riches are not the things that you build up or store for yourselves here on earth. True riches are stored in heaven. True riches are in Christ Jesus. Oh, like a leaf, like wings. These riches, money, have like wings and they fly away. They're going to be gone. Building up, storing up. These people were living for the here and now. And that's what they'll tempt you to do. Just live for the here and now. They'll get you away from this eternal focus. This focus, this eternity, looking to the things of Christ. God desires that for you. He wants you to look to the things above, not things on earth. He wants you to look to eternal things, not the things that are temporal. For the things that are temporal, they're going to be wasted away one day. But the eternal things, those things are going to last. They'll make you think that money can cause or bring you happiness. Eat, drink, and be merry. All have one purse. All be together. We'll all fill our houses with spoil. We can have a lot of benefits. 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. They'll entice you to do partnership with them. And then you can be in big business. You see this Christian way, that's man, you're wasting your life. There's a life that is worth living, and if you're going to live the Christian way, you're going to waste your life. You'll live like a pauper. No fun. Come, let's have one purse, let's partner together, let's have big business. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with non-believers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I tell you, what communion, what fellowship, the only time that you can ever approach someone that was someone like me, I admit, I was lost, but the only time that you can ever approach me would have been that helped me with the gospel. What business do you have in partnering with someone that you don't have no heart to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say? You easily find that they will have the conversation and you will yield to their ways. Come, let's have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Another admonition, keep away, stay away. Don't even think about going that way. Don't go astray. Their end is destruction. In Psalm 1 verse 4, the ungodly are like the chaff with the wind that driveth away. It's bitter end. It's a bitter conclusion. You don't want to go down that way. In Psalm 37, verse 5, you want to turn your Bible, Psalm 37, verse 35. Psalm 37, verse 35 to 37. I have seen the wicked in great power. Yep. And spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. That's their end. One moment they have power, success, money. Next minute, where'd they go? No more. Bye-bye, Charlie. Yeah. That's the lifestyle of sinners. That's the lifestyle of living without God. You have power for a moment, for a season, and then it's gone. You're no more. You're finished. But look, verse 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is... What is it?
Peace.
There it is. What is the end of the upright?
Peace.
Peace. But destruction for the wicked. Destruction for those that choose to live without God's word. Destruction for those that choose not the fear of the Lord. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. And the world's crowd is always running to sinful practices that violate God's word. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. The person who lays the trap for another person will only find themselves to be in the trap themselves that they had laid. Yep, absolutely. He will eventually step into his own devices. He will eat the fruit of his own labor. It's going to come back and backfire in their face. That's what happens. A man of God once said, a wise person will look to the end of his actions, and not only a wise person will look to the end of his actions and not only the beginning. In other words, let me just say, this is a man that is not void of understanding. He studies the consequences of their decisions. What's going to take place if I go there, if I do that, if I follow this person? They study the consequences. That is a person that is not void of understanding. Moses wasn't void in understanding in this area. He said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. Wise. Wise decision. Verse 18. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Please listen tonight. Living a life of sin will only come back and bite you. Numbers 32, verse 23 says, be sure that your sin will find you out. And if it's not in this life, it will be in the next one, especially if you're not saved. It will find you out. You can't run away from it. You can do things in secret, you can do things in the dark, but the great light will come and expose you one day. Your sin will find you out. And by the way, many things are done in the dark, aren't they? Many evil practices are done in the dark. But you know the scriptures, you are not the children of darkness. You are children of light. So walk in the light. Don't do these evil things. Don't be enticed by sinners. Well, your sin will not only find you out, but it will destroy you. What happened to Eli's sons? Hophni and Phinehas. Oh, they caused Israel to fall and stumble, and they were slain. They were finished. They were destroyed. What happened to Judas? Destroyed. Why? Greedy of gain. Notice verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is what? Greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of their owners thereof. Sin will also catch up with you, and the consequences are never pleasant. Never pleasant. I want to challenge both young and old this evening. What kind of legacy do you want to leave for your friends, your family, and perhaps even your children? What kind of legacy? The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Oh, Lucifer's name, going to rot. Judas's name, going to rot. Cain's name, going to rot. You understand that there are not many people that will call their son Lucifer. Not many people will call or have a desire to call their... it's not on their list to call their name Judas. And what a wonderful and beautiful name that name could have been, Lucifer. But because he rebelled against God, and because he didn't have a fear of God, his name stinks. Poof! When you hear it, you cringe. It stinks. Because he had no fear for the Lord. No fear. He wanted his own way. He wanted to run his own life. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He had no regard for the word of God. And he wanted to deceive every single person in this world that came into this world to do the same. And if you do, your name will rot. You only have to look as far as Hebrews chapter 11. And you see the men and women that lived by faith and their names were blessed. Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 11, you see the ones that were blessed by faith. Faith in God. For he that comes to him must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the fear of the Lord, and that's wisdom. Well, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? That's your decision. Be not deceived, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Evil communication corrupt good manners. It's up there, let's say it together. Ready? Begin. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Okay. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. I'm not saying to you that you can't love people and reach them with the gospel. But Paul the Apostle even says, if you put it up in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. Do you know if you stay there long enough with the ungodly crowd, you'll be enticed? Do what you have to do and go. Tell them about the Lord. Love them. Be there for them. But don't hang out with them. Don't walk in their way. Don't go in their path. You're only going to be listening to ungodly music. You're only going to be watching ungodly films that disgrace the name of God and speak against God. They're not in any way, shape, or form that they're going to help you. You're going to learn their ways soon enough and you could be a castaway because we could still be enticed. But a wise person will fear the Lord and hearken to the instruction of your father, your godly father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Reach them, love them. Jesus ate with sinners, absolutely. And the majority of them were the sinners that repented and wanted to live God's way. That's a very key verse for those that want to go and live an ungodly life. Jesus ate with sinners. But he didn't go and eat and drink and be merry and was a wine bibber and a gluttonous like they claimed to be. And he laughed at their dirty jokes and watched the dirty films and listened to dirty music. Of course not. He would have been, what are you doing? He would have been there trying to teach him the way. That's why he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He didn't go there and drink like the Pharisees said that he did. And he was a wine bibber and eat, drink and be merry. He's a gluttonous like they said about John the Baptist. No way in the world. He was there to tell them about the truth and how they can be liberated. But that's the favorite verse for some carnal Christians that want to taste the world and want the company of sinners. Oh, the Christians are boring. They always quote verses. Always listen to that music. It's boring. Maybe if there's a change in your life, and maybe God will cause a regeneration and you'll be born again and you learn to love his ways and you be a new creature. Or maybe you have some convictions in your life and you start respecting God for who he is and praising God and cutting off your hand, not literally, but getting things out of the way that cause you to sin. Maybe, and then maybe, when you lay aside all hypocrisy and you go after the word of God and taste and see like a baby loves that milk and thirsts after righteousness, you'll see that he's good and that his ways are the best and his ways lead to life and his ways get rid of this thinking of so-called happiness that only makes you hunger for more. And empty. But the Lord can fill you up. You say, I'm not full. Don't miss this. Yeah. Don't miss what Jesus did for you. That's why. Because you're looking for other things. You know, if all that we had was God come in the flesh and die for us, that is enough. If all that we had, and we can say, Lord, thank you for that. You know why people are so depressed and always hungry for more and more and more? I'll tell you why. Because they're not happy with what God has already given them. If you're thanking God for what you have and not crying for the things that you don't have, then there could be some room there that God will come and fill your heart with joy. And tears of joy will run down your face. Say, who needs that lifestyle over there? It's going to rot one day. Despises of those that are good. I don't want to hang around with those. I want to reach those so they can know God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The worst place you can be as a Christian, when you sit in that seat and you criticize those that love God. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The place where the sinner sat and they mock and they scorn those that fear God, love God, and want to do their best to keep their commandments. The worst place that you can ever sit is in the same seat and question God in your heart. The same way you learn their ways and it's a bitter end. You know, this is what he said. He started off with a great admonition. My son, listen to me. Don't go back and walk in the way of sinners. Don't go back and walk in the way of the world. A wise person will fear God. A wise person would not despise correction or instruction. A wise person will listen to godly authority and teachers and parents that love them. A wise person will refrain their foot from evil and not walk in the ways of the world. And God says, if you do all those things, you're beginning to be wise. Amen? And we want God's wisdom. Let's put things where they ought to be. Fear God, the fear God, keep his commandments, honor your authorities, honor those people that love you and teach you the word of God, refrain your foot from any evil way, don't walk or ever be enticed in the way of sinners. And let me just say here as in closing, I beg you with all my heart, if you're here tonight and you haven't tasted that the Lord is good and you have a hunger and thirst for godly things, and there's no change in your life, let me encourage you. God loves you. But God is God, And you need to turn around and follow God and His ways. And when you go and you see that the cross there, the message of love, God loves you when He died for you, and you embrace the cross, that will be a beginning of a relationship that you can have with God. And old things will pass away, that's a promise, and all things will become new as you walk with God and be renewed in your mind and have this to be preeminent. The living Word of God, Jesus, first in your life. And Christian, maybe you're saved, but somewhere in the middle you're still thirsty. Maybe you need to lay aside some things. And don't allow anyone, anything, any person to get in the way of your first love. I want to encourage you. You can live a victorious Christian life, having God's wisdom and enjoying the decisions that God will lay before you. It's wonderful. Well, I hope that was an encouragement to you. Fear the Lord and do not despise instruction and wisdom. Let's pray.